So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
Chris Ronchi, Amy Marks-Kors, The Chris and Amy Show.
Check it out.
St. Louis, Mound City, we are going to have a great day today.
On 104.1 FM.
Let's take it from the top.
KMOX.
Good morning, friends.
Good morning.
That includes you, Amy.
Thank you.
We are best friends. We are decent friends.
We are paid to be friends.
Oh, dude.
And we are...
Stop.
...thrilled to be here with you
Hey,
this
Chris,
morning.
Want to get coffee?
6 years ago.
No.
Every day.
Want to get coffee?
And Chris would say, sure. And then 20 minutes before the coffee, can we reschedule something came up?
This is true.
Yeah.
She is not lying right now. Amy Marks-Kors, Chris Ronji, welcome into the show. 9 to noon, Chris and Amy go every single day except for Saturday and Sunday. We've got a lot coming up today, and we want you to participate. 314-436-7900. Leave a voice message from the Odyssey app as well. And if you want to watch us, you can do that. YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. We want you to follow us on Twitter at Chris Amy KMOX. What was that?
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everyone will be talking about.
The Missouri legislative session will end this week, and there is a lot in the hopper. So we're going to talk to Alyssa Nelson with Missouri Net about what to expect this week.
And we need to hear from you today, because guess who's eligible for Cooperstown?
Ugh.
Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Shoeless Joe should be in. He didn't do anything
wrong.
He didn't do anything wrong.
Major League Baseball has said, now, once you die, all your sins are forgiven, and you can go to the Baseball Hall of Fame if you are so voted in.
And the Cardinals will have a doubleheader today, unless rain in Philadelphia doesn't go away. But it looks like, according to the forecast, they'll be all right.
It's debatable.
I think we're going to play two today.
The first
game happening at 12:05, which means the pregame show with Tom Ackerman happens at 11:10. And that is how long we are here today. We're with you until just after 11 o'clock. And it's good news that you're here. Speaking of sports, you know how I feel about stadium funding?
Yeah.
Like when the state gives money to billionaires so they can build their stadiums?
Yes. Your thought process is, why should I, a regular guy, just trying to make ends meet?
That's right.
Pay for a stadium for a guy who's worth $10 billion.
Exactly right.
Yep.
I don't want to do it. I don't think we should have to do it. I think billionaires should fund their own stadiums. They should figure out a way to do it privately.
Mm-hmm. It's like if I bought a boat and then I made you pay for the dock.
Yeah, kind of. And they say you can use the boat. You got to pay me every time you come to the boat, but you got to use it still.
And you have to build the dock and the house.
So Governor Mike Kehoe had a plan to cover part of the cost, about half of it actually, with a new stadium for the Kansas City Royals and the Kansas City Chiefs. And this is all being done because there was an effort, or at least this threat, that the Chiefs and Royals might move across the state into Kansas. But of course, if they stay here and there is public funding that goes to those stadiums, people in St. Louis are on the hook for that too. Now, you know how I feel about sports. I love that the Chiefs and the Royals are in town or in the state. I love that they are here. I want them to stay here. But by and large, if you go back and look throughout the history of stadium deals that cities and states have given money to, the teams to build or fund their new stadium projects, it usually doesn't turn out well for the cities. It isn't the financial boom that they would expect, right? And I don't want them to leave town. Like, let's say locally, the Cardinals threaten to go to Kentucky. Okay.
Okay.
And we were scrambling to figure out a way to keep them here. I'm not naive. I know that we'd have to give them a little bit of something because that's just the way it works. But I'm not really in favor of taxpayers funding stadiums for people who have billions of dollars.
Yes. And I will say we 100% buried the lead here because what Ron just trying to say that Chris Ronji is 100% on board in agreement with Missouri State Senator Mary Elizabeth Coleman.
I am in agreement with Mary Elizabeth Coleman.
They normally aren't in agreement.
Yes.
They normally aren't in agreement. So State Senator Mary Elizabeth Coleman is an Arnold Republican. She took issue with this idea of the House rushing through what she called special interest money for stadiums. She continued, quote, "I don't know anybody who goes to the Missouri Senate or the Missouri legislature to pass special interest money for billionaires, but that's what we're being asked to do here." And basically, the state Senate is frustrated that the House approved this funding just days after it refused to allow a vote on a $500 million spending bill. And that spending bill would have funded projects for health care, education, and law enforcement. And they're saying, so wait a minute. You don't want to take the time to work out that spending bill, but go ahead and rush through the stadium money?
Yep.
And so that is why Ronji and Mary Elizabeth Coleman are skipping hand in hand through the anti-billionaire park.
We had a good long hug, the two of us.
This is like when Cori Bush and Josh Hawley were working together on the radioactive waste at Coldwater Creek.
Yeah.
And the Westlake landfill.
See, we can find common ground. I totally agree with this. What also I think is interesting here, and maybe we discussed this months ago when the Kansas, there was a measure on the ballot in KC for this about funding. One of the people who was against it and led the charge against and campaigned against it was Frank White, who is a Kansas City Royals Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Like, this is somebody who played for the team, and he was still saying, no, this is not good for the taxpayer. We're not going to do this, and you should not vote for it. And the people there did not vote for it because, for the most part, the average citizen does not want to pay for a stadium. And I don't blame them. But stadiums, teams, they know that if they threaten to move...
Yeah.
That they could get people riled up enough to say, oh, okay, well, then whatever you want to do. That may have worked more 20 or 30 or 40 years ago. I don't think that works anymore.
Yeah, and here's the thing, Ronch, because I agree. So here's the deal. The plan that was a little sketchy on the details that passed through the House, it says the state, would help pay up to half the cost of a new stadium for the Royals and a refurbished Arrowhead Stadium for the Chiefs, though we're not really totally sure what the overall cost of the plan would be. Now, Representative Chris Brown, a Republican out of Kansas City, said, well, the amount of money would be the exact same funding Missouri would lose out on if the teams moved to Kansas. And I think what's so frustrating about this is this whole idea of generating loyalty and love from the people in the city in which your team resides. You're the St. Louis Cardinals, you're the Kansas City Chiefs, and you're a team owner and you say, listen, I'm going to invest in this community because I love this community. You have a team. And then the community gives back. The community buys tickets. It buys jerseys. It has generational love for a franchise. It supports that franchise and it gets really hooked into it and it becomes a part of the identity of the city. And right when it becomes a part of the identity of the city, the billionaires say, now, we need more money or we're going to move to somewhere that will appreciate us more. Let me tell you this, and I am pro billionaire. I love America. I love the American dream. Get as rich
Who
as possible.
Pro billionaire.
I am because it's the American dream.
Okay.
Be fine. Like create
it's
Walmart.
It's the American dream.
Yeah, create
like
Walmart.
Five people get that.
But I bring this up because with owners, let me just tell you this. They are not owning these teams as charitable organizations. This is not altruism on this part to own these teams. They're making an enormous amount of money, and it's a little offensive that then they throw it at the fans' faces, like, give us more money or we're going to go somewhere where they love us more. No, you're doing just fine with this team. You're making a lot of money.
You are so close to having an epiphany. You're so close and you don't even know it. Here's the thing about being a billionaire.
Bill Gates doesn't own a team.
No, he doesn't.
But he is giving away 99% of his wealth over the next 20 years. And yes, I will say that the good and the efficiency of private philanthropic efforts it's done a lot more than a lot of government organizations have done. So if you are a billionaire and then you start investing in the world and the underprivileged like Bill Gates is, I'm all for it.
That's great. But you can't make them do that.
No, but and there are a lot that why, do. That's why I'm not anti-billionaire.
And there are a lot
I'm
that
just
don't.
Not.
So I think the issue for me is this. A lot of times team owners act like owning a team is a real financial risk. And I could be ruined if things go wrong or whatever. Mm-mm. And they want us to feel sorry for them. Let me give you an example. And I'm not saying the Cardinals do this, but this is just an example. The Cardinals were purchased by the ownership group led by Bill DeWitt for $150 million in the mid-90s. Do you know what the team is worth now?
I do.
$2.6 billion. There is not a major professional sports team that is worth less now than when it was bought. So every single one of these people who own teams, and this goes around the country, all of them are making a massive return on investment. It is not the risk they keep telling us it is. They'll never be financially ruined. If it is such a tough deal, sell the team. Sell the team if this is so financially stressful mm-hmm. to you to own a baseball team or own a football team. If you can't afford it, if you're worried about the costs of building a new stadium, sell it then. Sell it, make a profit, and go away and let somebody else come in and handle it. But they don't sell because they know they're going to make a ton of money off of it one way or another. They know, for example, Jerry Reinsdorf owns the White Sox and the Bulls. He has been trying for about 2 years now to get funding from the state of Illinois to build a new stadium closer to downtown. It's the South Loop is what it's called. And it's a great space. It would be really cool to have a stadium built there. But that would cost the entire state of Illinois tax money in order to do it if they get money from the state, obviously. And J.B. Pritzker has said, nah, no appetite for it. And that's to his credit. And I agree with him.
That's because he's a billionaire and he gets it. He's a billionaire. And J.B. Pritzker's like, I know what you're doing here, buddy. I'm also a billionaire.
Right. So fine. But even if he wasn't, I think if he made $100,000, he would probably say the same thing. And he says, we're not giving you $2 billion for a new stadium mm-hmm. project. Fund it yourself. Look what happened with our soccer stadium. Remember how there was this effort to get a measure on the ballot, and it did, and people either had to vote for it or not for a tax incentive to build the stadium, and people here voted it down. Well, guess what happened? The ownership group got together with private investors, and they built it themselves. So it can be done. And I realize that's
maybe
not a baseball stadium.
Maybe you just
need
stadium. Female owners.
Maybe
we need
an all-female.
Some female owners of an NFL team because they'll get it.
Well, and they got it done. They privately funded that stadium. And it can be done. It's just that why do that when you can get money from the taxpayer?
Yeah, and listen, I get it. Like, oh, well, they're business people. They're trying to, fine. Okay, get a good deal. But here's what I don't want is asking for an offensive amount of money from the taxpayers and throwing it in the taxpayers' faces as if you don't care about the team enough and we're moving somewhere that will appreciate it. To me, that's insulting.
It's like,
and it's disingenuous, and no, you're not going to stomach it.
It's like what the Reds team president said. It was either last year or the year before when he was asked about this, Phil Castellini. And I think people were upset with the team, and he's doing an interview and he says, basically, mm-hmm. Cincinnati is lucky to have us.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Ranch.
That is absolutely not the attitude you ever take if you're an owner of a baseball team or a football team in a city. Never.
Maybe Jerry Reinsdorf is about to get his comeuppance.
How?
maybe there'll be divine intervention telling him to act better.
Oh, the Pope?
And treat the people better.
Well, I think the divine intervention might come from somewhere else. You know how bad of an owner you have to be when all your fans wish you would die? I'm not making a joke. They literally wish he would die and go away so they could start over.
Well, that's their only hope, right?
Yes, because he sucks as an owner. He is so bad as an owner. That's Amy Marks-Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. We buried the lead, though. Post Malone show was last night here in St. Louis. Huge success from what I heard. We have a story for you, though. That's next on KMOX.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
Post Malone and Jelly Roll.
Who kind
is that his
of
name?
Look the same. They just look like different sizes of the same
you're
person.
You're kind of right. Jelly Roll just looks like a big Post Malone.
He does. I thought it was Post Malone a couple times.
So they were in town last night, and they played at Busch Stadium. It was reported to be sold out, but it looked like there were a lot of empty seats, especially up high. And I don't mean the ones that were close to the stage where they're bad line of sight, so they try not to sell them. I'm not talking about those. But it seemed like it wasn't completely full, but we did get a comment from Robert who says, hey, good news. Busch Stadium was sold out for once. Robert watching on YouTube. I don't know if it was. Maybe it was, but there were a lot of empty seats there. And I knew people trying to give tickets away and couldn't give them away.
Yeah.
Here's my problem with Post Malone is this. I like him.
His teeth.
I like him as an artist.
Yeah.
He seems like a decent fellow.
Okay.
The country flip, I know he's tried it. Beyonce's tried it. She had a lot of success doing that. I'm not into it. It almost feels like shooting fish in a barrel because it seems like it would be very easy to be an artist in some other genre and then say, I'm going to be in country music now and it's going to go over really well. For whatever reason, it seems easier to hit.
Well,
in country music.
Here's the thing. You only have so long in the spotlight. You're going to milk it for all it's worth. You're going to make as much money as possible. And by doing a country album, you're going to hit a new market, maybe get some new earballs listening to your music and turned on to your work as a whole. I just feel glad that both Jelly Roll and Post Malone have such successful careers because I feel like with that many face tattoos, it's pretty limiting.
I don't think it is anymore.
Searches.
I don't think it is anymore.
I don't know.
I think tattoos.
I've never seen like a CPA with that many face tattoos.
Well, there used to be. If you're good at being an accountant, you don't. It doesn't matter what. I don't care if my CPA has tattoos on every square
inch. I'm not saying you care. I'm saying, would you be surprised?
No.
What?
Not really. Not anymore. Not anymore.
If Kyle the engineer walked into your full of face tattoos, you wouldn't be a little surprised?
I'd be as surprised as if anybody had it. But what I'm saying is I don't think they're...
You'd be surprised we had an engineer.
Well, no, Kyle's very good. Kyle knows what he's doing.
That's what I mean. You wouldn't be... You don't think... I think it's fair to say you don't see a ton of a lot of face tattoo people in traditional jobs.
Well, you don't see a lot of face tattoo people in general.
That's true. But the ones you do see are on stage.
So, well, here's my thing about the tattoos. It's just not as weird as it used to be. Even somebody who had a completely tatted up sleeve, a whole arm of tattoos, that used to be really, wow, look at that. Now everybody has one, you know? They're just so common. At any rate, Post Malone was here. And we were notified by our producer, Matt Pajeski, that he had a great Post Malone story.
No. The opposite of a great story. It was one of the worst nights of my life.
That's what makes it
was
a great story.
Because of Post Malone?
No, he was actually surprisingly great. I went with a girlfriend at the time, and she really liked Post Malone. I like him. He's fine, whatever. I'm just, you know, trying to be a nice boyfriend and go to the show. So it's at the amphitheater. And it is just one of those nights where it's pouring down rain and it's a torrential downpour. Mm. And Post Malone actually performs for like 20, 30 minutes, which I thought was actually great, and then cancels the show because of the amount of rain that's coming down. So, everybody is like flocking to like the bathrooms where they can kind of take some cover, and then they ultimately decide to cancel it, and so we're all like running back to the car, and we are just like floating in our shoes. I mean, like we're like swimming across the parking lot to get to our cars. And you know how bad the Riverport parking lot is. Everybody leaves the same direction out that one exit, and I'm like not in a great mood, and she's not in a great mood, and we kind of just start arguing about whatever.
What'd you do?
I can't tell you. But we're arguing the whole time in the car, and my shoes are soaking wet, which is the worst feeling in the world.
He's brought up the shoes a lot.
Yeah. Well, I hate wet shoes. And we're stuck in traffic for at least an hour, hour and a half, because everybody's trying to leave, and it's wet, and we're arguing, and she gets out of the car and walks around and sits in the back seat because that's somehow, you know, making a point to me. I don't know. It was just one of the worst nights. It was so uncomfortable in that car.
Oh, man.
And bad. Damp. It was probably damp in the car.
My butt was damp. My shoes were damp.
And you had a girlfriend all mad at you.
Yeah.
In the
do
back
you remember
seat.
Pouting in the back seat.
Why were you fighting? Do you remember?
Yeah.
Can
was
you
it your fault?
Hint?
I think it was a little bit of both.
A little bit of both. Yeah. That means it was his fault.
I can tell you. Not for the air, though.
Okay.
What does it rhyme with?
That's not a single word. It's
fleeting. I fleeted on her. Is that what happened?
No.
Were you?
No, trust me. I would not do that. I'm not that kind of guy.
He's not that kind
of
guy.
Okay, you didn't step out.
He's not you.
No.
Whoa. Hold on a second, you bum. I would not do that either.
I'm just picturing how moist it must have been.
Oh. There's nothing worse than a moist fight. A moist argument with your girlfriend?
Damp. Your shoes are wet. Your pants are wet.
Was it hot, too?
It's humid in
no,
the car.
No, it wasn't hot.
But it had to have been humid.
In the car and you're sitting in water. You're just...
And your girlfriend gets out performatively, gets out of the front seat, makes her way to the back seat.
Well, you showed me. I'd love to know if you did some irrational thing during an argument with a significant other. We would love to hear about it. So go ahead and text us 314-436-7900 or leave us a voice message from the Odyssey app. Tell us how irrational you are or your lady friend or your boyfriend or husband or wife. Tell us about it. 104.1 FM KMOX. When we come back, Alisa Nelson with Missouri Nets will talk to us about what to expect the rest of the week in the Missouri legislative session.
So you have a podcast and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
Chris and Amy Show, 104.1 FM KMOX. The Missouri legislative session is coming to an end this week, and there is a lot on the docket. So we want to talk about what is happening, what might happen in the next couple of days. Missouri Net News Director Alisa Nelson joins the show to fill us in. How's it going, Alisa?
I'm going to survive. A couple more days. How are you guys?
As well as you're doing, I guess.
So
yeah, it's a lot of hustle and bustle this final week.
Yeah, we were talking earlier in the show, and so we'll just start with this, and that would be the funding for the new stadium for the Kansas City Royals and the Kansas City Chiefs. And it seemed like it was bipartisan, maybe frustration in the Senate with the House passing this bill to approve special funds for billionaires, as they said. How did that go down this week within the Missouri Senate?
Yeah, I think that is a good way of putting it, is bipartisan opposition. Really, the House all of a sudden yesterday had this bill on the floor. They were going to do a last vote on a bill that has to do with name, image, and likeness for high school athletes. And this amendment was added to the bill that would give this, it was really this last minute attempt to keep the Kansas City Chiefs and Royals in Missouri with this package that would pay up to half the cost of new and improved stadiums for the teams. And had no idea this was happening, was attached at the last minute. And so the House did that yesterday. And then all of a sudden I look over on the Senate and they have the bill over in the Senate. And I followed it in the Senate, and there was definitely some bitterness and frustration because of something else. And basically, this, unfortunately, this incentives package for the Chiefs and the Royals, the timing on it didn't play in the House's favor because the Senate has some bitterness and frustration over a budget bill that the House happened to, I would say, unexpectedly just kill. It was mainly the House Budget Committee chairman who killed the bill all of a sudden on Friday. And that bill had $513 million in it for construction projects all over the state. Well, since he killed that bill, he didn't give a heads up to the Senate Appropriations Committee chair and many other lawmakers. Senators especially, I think, were frustrated about that. So they took out their frustrations on this incentives package to try and keep the Chiefs and the Royals here. And that was mainly what the blockade was about yesterday, was we're frustrated about what happened on Friday. And now all of a sudden we have this bill that is going to cost hundreds of millions of dollars. And yet the House Budget Committee chairman said, we need to save money. That's why I'm killing this bill worth $513 million. So senators really had some questions about, I know his hypocrisy, they cited that during their discussions yesterday, and they held the floor for about 6 hours to block a vote on that bill. And so the Senate adjourned yesterday without even voting on it.
So this was killed out of bickering and not out of ideology?
I sensed that. Yes,
okay.
That is what I think, is that they are just really not happy with the lack of communication that happened last Friday. And because of the ideology, I think, by the House Budget Committee chairman saying we have to save money, that's why I killed the bill. And then all of a sudden this bill that's going to cost hundreds of millions, yeah, all of a sudden it comes up. And so a couple of different things, I think, come into play there.
Man, I love spite. And I think that's how all legislatures should operate, is that just acting out of spite. Yeah, that's good for people.
I think you're pretty close.
Yeah,
that's pretty close to getting there.
That's good for the citizens, I think.
On the same topic. I had a question about the education bills that have been discussed over the past couple of months. I'm a little confused about where we stand with the education bills, specifically when it comes to reading approaches. We have a crisis of literacy across the country here in the state of Missouri, and there were some controversies regarding banning the so-called three cueing system of reading in the state of Missouri, or at least bringing back phonics. Where are we with this whole discussion about reading and phonics in the state of Missouri?
Ooh, that's one topic that I am not familiar enough to really talk about.
Okay.
I know there have been a bunch of different reading efforts that the legislature has funded. You know, there's the Dolly Parton Imagination Library for 0 through 5 to help with reading skills. But, you know, then there's, ever since the pandemic, there have been different funding efforts through the legislature to help get kids back on track. And reading is something that the legislature has really emphasized. And so I know that those have been going on for the past few years, especially. But as far as like the science of reading, I am not aware of like anything specific that I can talk to intelligently that's happening this session on that.
Sure, sure.
Talking to Elisa Nelson with Missouri Net, the news director there, and another measure that is being done right now, excuse me, is the abortion amendment that was voted on by the people. That was back in November, and Republicans have been trying to roll that back. And it seems like that's moving forward. What is going to happen there?
Well, because of this whole grenade that the House threw on Friday with this spending bill, I am just really uncertain what's going to happen these last 3 days. I think senators are just, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to swallow it and take it and move forward. They all really, I think, they all agree. They want to, at least the Republicans, want to try to get something on the ballot. But at the same time, they can come back and do it next year after they cool their heads off a little bit. They can still get it on the ballot in 2026. And so is that going to pass this year? I'm not sure because of the friction that's going on between the House and Senate. Because when I talked to Lincoln Huff, the Senate Appropriations Committee chair, over the weekend, I asked him what, because of the grenade that was thrown on Friday, what does that mean for the rest of session since there's 1 week left? And he's like, well, it might be challenging for a House bill to get passed in the Senate. And that is a House bill for the abortion measure that would put that would ask the voters if they can pretty much overturn most abortions. And so is Proposition A, or at least the paid sick leave requirements. That is also
part of the minimum wage increase. That bill?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those that voters also voted for.
So those are the,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And so those are the two I'm really trying to watch this week because of what Senator Huff said and whether senators are actually going to move forward or not.
Does that have any political implications that Republicans are going after bills and measures that the people voted for?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's been mentioned many times, especially by Democrats, you know, that they're overturning the will of the people is the argument that many of the Democrats are making. As far as the abortion proposal goes, I think Republicans have clapped back by saying, well, this is what most Missourians wanted to begin with, is that they wanted exceptions. They didn't want, abortion rights that are just wide open like this. They wanted something more conservative. And so, yeah, we're definitely hearing about that. And the minimum wage, you know, I think that Republicans have really stood by that the businesses will hurt by the, if this continues to go into law. And so I'm not sure, you know, what the happy medium is on the paid sick leave and if they can find one. I know the last version, I think they were really focused on, and they were close to getting, I think, some resolution, a compromise that dealt with the really small businesses and trying to carve something out so that those businesses were especially not burdened.
Yeah, it's interesting, Elisa, because when it comes to the paid sick leave, it's easy to view things through a binary partisan lens. But some of the pushback to that was from the very small businesses. I talked to several friends of mine who own small businesses, and they say it's not viable if you have a small business, if you own a small store. And so it wasn't pushed back necessarily from like, well, these are the Republicans, you know, wanting to give benefits to the businesses. It was just like Main Street mom and pop shops who say some of the ideas and principles that work on bigger businesses don't translate to a small scale.
Yes. I think some of the regulations that were required as a result of that, some of the different paperwork and to keep track of all that and the accounting, I think I had heard that it would be a nightmare for some of the small businesses. And so I think that's where, especially like that carve out compromise that the Democrats and Republicans, I think, in the Senate were working on at one time. And so I don't know if that's still the case or not. But yeah, definitely, I think that the small businesses especially. And another thing is, you know, with these requirements of the paid sick leave, I know that the argument was made, well, there are just not going to be as many people that the business can hire. You know, maybe they were going to hire 20 and now they can only hire 10, you know, in the bordering areas. So like over by you, by St. Louis, you know, it could especially impact the borders, because if the businesses can go on the other to the neighboring states and set up shop and profit more than they can in Missouri, then they may do that.
Alisa Nelson with Missouri Net, covering the Missouri legislature, joining us here on 104.1 FM KMOX. Alisa, we appreciate your time as always. Thank you for joining us today, and good luck the next few days.
Thank you. Anytime.
Let us know what happens.
Okay, will do.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Alisa. Oh, man, isn't politics fun?
Yeah, no, I don't know how people do it or what motivates them to go in, especially into local politics. I mean, we see the drama, all the unnecessary drama in St. Louis County with the county council, in St. Louis City with the Board of Aldermen, and just kind of the shenanigans that go on there. We see what happens in the state. We see what happens at the national level. I would just be exhausted by it. There was a part, Ranja, there was an education bill that also got approval, and it's interesting because some Democrats were against the education bill because it prohibits institutions of higher education from taking, quote, adverse action against a student group based on its political, ideological, or religious beliefs or the actions of its leaders. And it's interesting because the Democrats are saying, well, that might allow schools to have discriminatory groups, but that's what the Republicans are saying when it comes to Harvard. Like, it's weird. Like, so the Democrats in our state legislature are parroting what Trump is saying to Harvard and Columbia about discriminatory language. I think it's a lot of partisanship here.
Colonel Ripper is watching on YouTube and says, I think you guys said you'd be on until 11:10 today, but I think that's Eastern time. Maybe you're out at 10:10. Nope. We are on until just after 11 o'clock because we've got Cardinals baseball happening at 12:05, a doubleheader here on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Now, did you see this with Chris and Amy?
Well, Ranj, not great that contentious foreign relations and fears about visiting the United States are resulting in quote, the U.S. hemorrhaging tourism money. That's not great. So the World Travel and Tourism Council projects the United States to lose $12.5 billion in travel revenue in 2025%, a 7% dip from last year, a 22.5% drop from 2019. In March, U.S. airports that have historically served a ton of international visitors who want to go to, like, Disney and the Grand Canyon, they saw massive year-over-year declines. For instance, arrivals from the U.K. and South Korea dropped by 15%. Tourists from Germany plummeted almost 30%. And Spain and Ireland, that are generally staple of tourists, Spanish and Irish tourists fell between 24 and 33%.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm betting everything I have that when this is, as far as you know, when this whole thing is done and there's an honest assessment done after the fact about this whole aggressive deportation, immigration stance that Republicans have, it will end up costing us more money than it will have made us. I promise you, I guarantee it, if you're getting an honest assessment. You're going to have people try to spin it 2, 3, 4 years from now. No, we did great. We got rid of all the criminals. You cost the country a ton, billions and billions of dollars. I promise you, that will be the end result.
New York City expects a 17% decline in tourism this year, with the biggest drop coming from Canada. And in fact, Expedia, you know, the booking agency, says U.S. travel from Canada is already down 30% this year.
And it will, it's going to come
hurting
from
people.
It will come from labor. It will come from tourists. It's going to come from so many different angles. This is ultimately going to be really bad for the country. So I mentioned yesterday that the NFL schedule will be officially released, all NFL schedules, that's happening later on tonight. But we're getting leaks here and there, purposeful nuggets.
Like Pete Hegseth?
Not that kind. Oh. No. Not that kind.
Okay.
Of games that are happening here and there. Yesterday we learned that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to play in Brazil on September 5th. Mm-hmm. We learned that they are going to play Christmas night. That'll be against the Broncos. And then we learn they're also going to play on Thanksgiving.
Really?
So the Chiefs have a game against the Cowboys at 3:30 on Thanksgiving Day. So they got a Christmas Day game, Christmas night game. They have a Thanksgiving Day game.
Yeah.
Chiefs are all over the holidays.
I'm just laughing because I'm picturing the Pete Hegseth signal where it's like, great job bombing the Houthis. And hey, who's going to watch the Chiefs on Thanksgiving with me? And everyone's like, whoa, those are two big breaking news stories.
Yeah, he likes to leak things like that.
Yeah. Anyway.
Poor guy. All right. So
Chiefs.
If you're a Chiefs fan, your holidays are set.
Happy holidays.
Yeah.
That's great if you have contentious family members.
I'm just going to go watch the Chiefs game.
Right.
Yeah. When we come back, the interim CEO of the International Institute of St. Louis, Blake Hamilton, is going to join us because it was in jeopardy for a while, the status of the Festival of Nations. But it's going to happen. It is going on August 23rd and 24th in Tower Grove Park. We'll talk to Blake about how it happened next on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.